Hello, people of Earth. This week, we are taking a break from Last Looks while we are on tour in the UK. And by the way, come out and see us. Come, I think we're still there. And instead, we are serving up a brand new, well, actually an old new, classic HD TGM episode. That's right, the only movie in the Fast franchise we haven't yet re-released from the vault. It is 2019's Hobbs and Shaw. I know this is a divisive movie, but it's one of my favorites, and I love this episode featuring all-star guests. We're talking about Adam Scott and Nicole Byer. But before this episode starts, since there is no Last Looks today, I wanted to make sure that you could still prep for our next new movie episode. And I'm sure you guessed it by now, but next week we'll be closing out the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy with 2018's 50 Shades Free. That's right, people. We done did it. All the 50 Shades movies back to back to back. We couldn't do that to you, so we had to split it up over a couple of months. We have a great guest coming up for that. And if you want to watch along with us, you can play 50 Shades of Grey on Max, or you can rent it on Apple TV, YouTube, or Google Play. And as always, make sure you send us your corrections and omissions for our latest episode on Ronal the Barbarian. And don't worry, we'll cover Ronal and 50 Shades Free on our next Last Looks episode. You can still submit corrections and omissions on our Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm or leave us a voicemail. I love a voicemail at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's all I got, people. See you next time.
Sentient motorcycles, Samoan warfare, and more insults than any movie ever made. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the Fast and Furious we were promised. We saw Hobbs and Shaw, so you know what that means.
Hey, everybody. Now it's time for
the Largo Theater. Oh my goodness. Hello, family. Hello, family. Let me ask you a simple question. Where are my Hobbs people at? Where are my Shaw people at? Damn straight, it's a Shaw audience. This is the Jason Statham I have been waiting for. Holy shit. I could recap this movie or try to tell you what it's about, but simply there is not enough time. More things happen in the first 4 minutes of this movie than most pictures released on screen the entire summer. The first 4 minutes is the equivalent to what happens in both of the last Avengers movies. We are going to break it down tonight. We have an amazing all-star panel, and I can't do it alone. So please welcome my co-host, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we doing, everybody? Come on, LA! This movie is fucking rad. This movie is, you know how good this movie is? Sometimes they have to bisect the screen so they could show you more images. One screen can't contain this
movie. The movie.
Split screen, baby. Hobbs and Shaw 2, whole movie, split screen. Split it four ways. Let's Mike Figgis this shit.
Make it the time code of action movies. Jason, you and I said something that I feel like we should share off the bat. We saw it together last night.
Together. We went on a date last night.
And whispered to each other the entire time, I fucking love this. This is the best.
I leaned over at one point and said, I never want this to end.
And that was in the first 5 minutes.
And I still that sentiment remains.
I think the movie's over 3 hours. I don't know. I don't care. It wasn't long enough.
I would like to give this movie more of my life.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think we said the thing that I think about, and I thought about it all day today.
I also took notes on Alamo Drafthouse order slips.
I have them as well. They are impossible to read.
It is straight nonsense. Night. Why? Why? A-team montage. Don't know. I wrote it, though.
I wrote this. I wrote funny car. Which now I think I do remember. Jason, we were saying last night, it's as if the parents left for the weekend and the kids threw the best party of all
time. It's like the minute Vin Diesel was out the door, they were like, yes!
We get to play with all this shit.
Oh, shit. This is crazy. It literally was like, you want cars? Yup. You want guns? Yup. How about fights? We got them.
Do you want old school Samoan war weapons? I did not know that was an option, but yes.
Wait, though. Normally, we can't bust balls in these movies, but wait, can we now? Oh, we're gonna buzz balls.
This movie is like also a legit comedy. It's crazy. It's all right, but again, I don't wanna get into it too much.
From the comedic superstar team, just like I'm talking Abbott and Costello. I'm talking about
Statham and The Rock.
Lewis and Martin. I'm talking about Statham and The Rock. I'm talking about oh, my God.
Well, we obviously have a
this is a movie that we had to continuously stop ourselves in the green room from having the conversation we are having on stage. Because we were...
Numerous times.
The minute we got back there, we were like, hey, what about this? And hey, what about that? And hey, what about... Boo-boo-boo?
I could talk about it all night. Well, we have a Fast and Furious expert with us tonight. He has helped us break down these movies in the past. He also joined Jason and I on our outing last night. You know him from such great shows as Parks and Rec and Big Little Lies. Please welcome Mr. Adam Scott.
Oh, man. Just to add a little bit to what you guys were saying about wanting more and wanting to give more of your life to this movie.
Please.
I would watch this movie. No hyperbole, no exaggeration. I would watch this movie for 5 years.
I'm in.
5 years.
I'm in. If you said right now we're just gonna watch the movie, instead of do the show, I'd be like, yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
I can't think of the last time I've gone back to the theater to see a movie. I will go back to see this movie.
1,000,000%.
100%. Or 1,000,000%, sorry.
No.
That beats 100%, obviously.
No. 100% is the same as 1,000,000%.
Adam, I mean, like, obviously, you're devoting 5 years to it. Favorite part that just jumps out at you at any point? Anything you want to just talk about out of the gate?
Oh, God. I mean, there's so much. You know, one thing that did occur to me today that I was like, that was great, was when...
Period. Just occurred to you today. That was great.
Yeah.
There's so much, and that's right there. That's one of them.
Yeah, axe and chainsaw.
Yeah, but when Jason Statham's like, listen, I don't want you to touch my sister, and The Rock was like, listen, it's not 1955. If she decides she wants a piece of this, then she could climb mountain. All over this dick or whatever he said.
No, he would never say dick.
No.
He refers to himself as a mountain
a
that
mountain,
she can climb.
Yes.
Like she can free solo this shit.
That's right.
By the way,
which means no condom.
But also,
that's rock for raw dog. Yeah.
That's what I think. That's what I think everybody should be calling unprotected sex. I'm just going free solo on this one.
You saw unprotected sex. I just saw trying to get your hands into the Rock's bicep like holes, like getting in there, just like.
By the way,
right under his ribs, I got a piece. Yeah.
You could climb the Rock.
No ropes.
I want to bring out our next guest before we go too deep into it, but I will say the person I felt bad for, there's an extended sequence on that airplane, which we won't break down right now, but Vanessa Kirby has to be asleep for all of it. And I was like, she must have been dazed. Like with that eye, like she had an eye mask on. I was like, I feel bad for her. She's like, hey, you don't get to have any
Are
fun
you
in
kidding?
These scenes.
Are you kidding? That is the greatest days of her. Like,
oh,
she
absolutely.
Got to sleep during those takes.
It's like the days on shows and stuff that I love are when it's just a full day of just having to walk and open doors or go to the refrigerator where you don't have any actual like
dialogue.
Stuff to do. Yeah.
But I just feel like you want to get in on that action. There's a lot of good dialogue. There's a lot of good fun.
Yeah,
a lot of good ball busting on that airplane. You don't want to sit on the sidelines when good shit's going on.
I got to get in on this banter.
Got to bust some balls.
Hobbs and Shaw too. Busting balls.
By the way,
if they don't make a fucking sequel to this movie,
I'm gonna quit the biz.
Absolutely.
I think that's
a legit threat.
By the time,
if they do not order a sequel to this movie, I will quit the biz.
And everybody quit going to movies. This movie came in number one the first 2 weeks it's been out so far, so that's huge. But today, we have another guest out here, and she, I'm going to say, is a Jason Statham expert. And as we found out backstage, she'll talk about this a little bit, also an original Fast and Furious fan, like from the get-go.
Like posters on her bedroom wall.
Really?
Young Vin.
She hosts a podcast called Best Friends, and she is also the star of Nailed It. Please welcome Nicole Byer! Yeah! Nicole.
Yes, yes, yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So excited to have you here. And did not know that you were a Fast and Furious fan from the get-go.
My God, the first movie is just a remake of Point Break, and it's perfect. Also, Vin Diesel, I just would love to take a ride on that head. You know, it's just primed and prepped for my pussy. I truly spent so much time just cutting out that bald head to make collages.
And that is
so crazy.
I mean, that is peak Diesel. We were talking about this a little bit backstage.
Peak Diesel?
Peak Diesel is Fast and Furious Diesel, I feel like.
I just love a man who you don't understand, you know? You know, I owned a car and something fast, don't steal. I loved it.
I mean, that is, again, just to remind everybody, that is a movie about street racers selling stolen combination TV DVD players.
It might have been combination
VHS. In this movie,
VHS
there is a cyborg.
Yeah. And they pointed out in the Alamo video, these guys have saved the world four times.
Four times.
The
Not U.S. enough. Military depends on these guys. Mm-hmm.
They make our intelligence officers look like morons.
Fools, all of them.
The cool thing about this movie, besides the fact that it's a spinoff, is they didn't rely on any other characters. It's all you other
characters. Yeah.
They didn't bring in Kurt Russell. They didn't bring in anyone. They're like, no, we got it. Guys, get the fuck out of here.
Cars weren't even central to the battles. It wasn't until the end of the movie that I was like, oh yeah, this is Fast and the Furious. They released some cars.
And those weren't even cars. Those are trucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, they seem like they were like just saying like, fuck yeah.
Well, that's the thing. They did. They pulled like the central component out, which is street races, which is measuring your dicks vis-a-vis cars.
I mean,
and they did. They took all that. They stripped all that stuff out because even like the Fast movies now, you know, it literally is like, okay, we're gonna drop ourselves into this place. I guess we'll drop ourselves in inside of cars.
No, these guys flew commercial.
Yeah.
They flew commercial a couple times.
Also, economy.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering at one point, I was like, I want to just see either of them pack because they have a lot of wardrobe changes. And at a certain
point, awesome clothes.
I love that clothes. Wherever they were, they found a bag of new clothing for them to wear. They're like, okay, this is for you. Put that on. They did that three times in the movie.
I mean, The Rock, when The Rock was put in his outfit where he had like a little mustache in that scene.
Oh, my God.
That's the thing. Vin Diesel would never get into funny disguises.
No.
They're like, we finally get to do this.
What did I say? No hijinks.
But
no
by the way.
No hijinks. Just Dom punch, Dom win, family. Family, Dom Punch, Dom Race,
Corona, Corona.
I am Groot. I am Groot.
Somebody told me that he does every one of those lines individually, and really,
wait,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Which, man, those are the longest days.
every I am Groot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And ask for a lot of like, what am I saying now? Got it.
I am Groot.
Wow.
And now, I am Groot. And now, I am Groot.
but I did find that scene funny because Vanessa Kirby, who I love.
She was amazing. Great.
She was awesome.
She was great. But I do have to say, they didn't give her a makeup artist. Like,
no.
At one point, I was like, can someone get her chapstick?
Yes.
Like, her lips were chapped for half the movie.
Vanessa Kirby is the only one that retains bruises, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, those two guys get hit with bricks, cars, buildings, and they're like, oh, okay, back to normal. Vanessa Kirby had like a black eye for like,
well,
at least
that's
like,
well, I think
she's
it's
the
we're
only
in
person
a Me
who
Too movement. We gotta remember you hit a lady is bad.
It's a subtle reminder that, well, let's not keep hitting these ladies with cars. meanwhile, Idris Elba, Black Superman, can punch and kick The Rock and Statham over and over and over again. They are no muss, no fuss.
Mm-hmm.
They look dynamite.
Yeah. They are literally being thrown across rooms.
Mm-hmm.
When we meet Idris Elba, he punches through a truck. But yet she's able to escape him. Anyway, no big deal. But
oh, my God.
When they're giving out disguises, you know, Jason Statham's on his little workshop where he references being in the Italian Job, which I love that there's a shared universe here.
That's what that
it's
was.
Very
okay,
silly.
I was wondering.
I mean, what
that
a
was awesome.
Crazy, weird thing to even do.
It was weird,
and by
yeah.
the way, did you also notice that this is a real deep nerd shit, but Idris Elba has a Weiland tattoo, which is the company from Alien, and he works for that company in Alien. So there's also like an Alien Fast and Furious crossover too. Yeah.
Are they going to bring cars to space?
I hope we're going to space.
I only wish
that like Statham was at the end of this movie like revealed to not be Deckard Shaw, but in fact was Chev Chelios.
Yeah.
From Crank, and that we just like straight up Crank the next movie.
By the way, that would be a great version of if they're both dying and they just have to keep on electrocuting themselves. If they did do a space movie, I feel like a majority of scenes would be ripping off their space suits and be like, fuck it, I can breathe out here. Your lack of oxygen is nothing for me. I bunch 500 pounds. But so Deckard Shaw is making all their fake passports. Vanessa Kirby looks completely different. The Rock completely different.
Wait, The Rock doesn't look completely different
Jason
at all.
The Rock
he got a mustache.
He has a pencil thin mustache.
The dudes look exactly the same.
Vanessa Kirby legit looks like a completely different person. She's doing the job right.
Right.
Jason Statham is wearing a hat.
And glasses.
Orange sunglasses.
And glasses.
And The Rock is wearing a beret. And and a pencil thin mustache because he's supposed to be French? These are the only two. By the way, nobody's looking for Vanessa Kirby. Her picture's not on the news. Their picture is all over the news.
By the way, that sequence, they're in. We find out also one of the side talents of Idris Elba is controlling the media, which is a
wild. It's real wild.
I'm in.
It makes no sense. Also, after Idris Elba announces that they're bad, they have the most public conversations. Like, they're talking in that restaurant, and then they're just talking real loudly on that plane. And that lady in the babushka, who's she? Maybe she's a bad person. Was like, gotcha. Who knows?
By the way, why didn't Kevin Hart recognize them as being grade A bad guys?
Well,
by the way,
Hart.
Kevin Hart is in this movie.
So is Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
And it's not just like one scene. It's they're both like in the movie.
Yes.
Although
but I think
I mean, they probably work for a day or two.
I think they had a clause that was like two locations max.
Yeah, totally.
Both of them were only in two locations.
Well, Ryan Reynolds specifically, it shows that he worked one day. They must have done reshoots because he's like doing a big thing at the end. He's like, I'm still in that coffee shop I met you in earlier. Why? Yep. Why would you be in the closed coffee
They've
shop?
Got definitely those two guys had reshoot scenes that were just to keep them more in the movie because somebody was like, this is funny, it's working, the test audience loves when they're on screen, is there any way we can get them to do a little bit more? Well, we can try. And then it's literally like, I'm in a bathroom communicating with you.
Like, it's literally like, it answers the question that you always ask, like, well, how did they even get to Samoa? We'll answer it. Kevin Hart, get on the toilet. Let's go. And you know what? Didn't mind it at all. Will say, my breath was taken away when Kevin Hart popped out.
Same, I gasped. I went, oh no, it's Kevin Hart. I was so loud during my screening. I don't know if people were happy. I just love to giggle.
Ryan Reynolds in the movie is interesting because it seems like he's having fun that he's in a Fast and Furious movie, but then were they partners?
I think he thinks he's in a Deadpool movie. He's playing a character who seems to be very aware he's in a movie. He all but looks into camera and is like, can you believe I'm in this one too?
But they were like in the special forces together, and just thought they were best friends and
they
Rock.
Got the same tattoo.
Same tattoo.
Well, that what it seemed to me was that the game they were trying to play was Ryan Reynolds is obsessed with The Rock,
right?
It has the necklace, got the same tattoo, but that The Rock was never like interested in being friends. I don't think they were friends and are now not. I think Ryan Reynolds is just straight obsessed with him.
Got it.
They also work together still because it seemed like him handing him the mission. There was some routine
like he was his
to
handler
that.
Or something.
Yeah.
Also, but yet he's not working. Like he retired in the last movie.
Yes,
that's
it was
right.
Like, yeah, they're like, here's your badge and gun back. He's like, nope, I'm gonna be with my kid from now on. But yet he still has a handler.
Can I just say, when he was going through his kids' grades, they were just looking at loose leaf. I was like, you just tore that from a legal pad. Like, that's not a report card. I was like, this is yellow. Like, it's not a report card.
When the daughter hands him the biology report that is my family tree, and it is just... his name and then question mark. I was like, this is everything. This is everything. And here's the thing. This is a movie that like makes you genuinely be like, oh, The Rock, he's such a good dad. And then like 8 minutes later, he is jumping out of a skyscraper.
Running down the side like Spider-Man.
Not even falling until he can grab a man. Who is tethered to the building.
By the way.
Then he jumps off of that man, free falls again. You are a father.
And he literally got off a Skype phone call to do that.
Yeah.
He was Skyping. Hold on. Click. Let me jump out the window. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I got caught up in the moment. It was, no, I'm doing it.
I like that the
his
soldiers...
His child should be taken away from him.
The soldiers that he was after, who Idris Elba and those other guys, they hook a line onto their back
right.
and then just run down the face of a skyscraper. That's what they were doing,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
But they were doing it as if, oh, we're going to do that thing where we just yeah. hook on and then we run down the face of the skyscraper.
I mean, they were time travelers. They were from the future.
You're right. Yeah. There's a cyborg and his friends.
Well, that's what... Like,
but they're also cyborgs, right?
No.
Yeah. Oh, well,
they're all
so.
In a cult together.
They're in a cult, and then you have to, like, win cyborg privileges.
Well, I think Idris Elba...
Right.
Idris Elba is the most cyborg.
Yes.
My guess is they've got, like, a little bit of cyborg.
Right. They just can see like Google Maps in their eye and not cause
just
of
they just
punching
have
problems.
Glass.
And more often than not, it's like can't find signal, and it's just guessing where you are.
But also, his little eye thing was not helpful. When someone does this, obviously they're gonna hit you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like impact imminent. Well, yeah, duh. It's back yeah. here.
We also established that Idris Elba. At a certain point in the first scene, he lets someone shoot into his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So what would any punch do to him?
Nothing.
He is a fucking robot. Yeah, hit me. Hands down.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so when Idris Elba is defeated, I was like, why the black man? Why does he have to die? But then I was like, well, he's a cyborg. He's not black.
But by the way, if we know anything from this franchise, he will be back.
Oh,
he's
yes.
just deactivated.
Oh, yeah, he's just deactivated. Yeah, he's like an old iPhone.
I'm not kidding. Based on how these movies work, he will be a good guy in two movies.
100%.
And
I thought
absolutely.
100%.
There felt like an 85% chance that he'd be like, I'll be good now. Like, it was like,
yes.
I'll break
yeah.
my...
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's coming. He will... Again... Let me remind you, Jason Statham killed Han.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
I take
offense
to this.
He killed one of the best characters in the series.
Here's my issue with this. Everyone who wants justice for Han, I'm going to talk to you for a second and say this. Han was a part of an operation that attached a safe to a car and ran down the street. So many people died. Han is also a bad guy. Han has blood on his hands. A little kid eating ice cream in wherever the fuck they were, Brazil.
Brazil.
Blah! Like dead because of a fucking safe. Han is no... They all got blood on their hands, people. We don't need to be singing praises
for Han.
And
you know what? Like, Giselle's dead too.
Yeah.
Justice for Giselle?
Well, Giselle fell out the plane.
I
think.
Yeah, if you fall out the plane, fuck you.
I was going to say, the one thing that was so disturbing about Idris Elba's henchman, this is the one thing, it was one small detail, and I feel like it didn't get enough attention, but they were talking about the bodies that they found at the scene of that opening crime, and they said they were stabbed by a brick. And it was like, oh, and so they were just killed by bullets.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, Idris Elba was like, take care of them. So one of those fucking cyborgs was like, I'm going to fucking shove a brick. And, like,
oh,
what
that's
was
right.
that
we didn't see that particular
no, we
murder.
Yeah. Like, what is that? Like, that was their casually getting rid? It's like stabbing someone through with a brick?
My assumption was that Idris Elba had done that.
No, because he got on his self-riding
right.
motorcycle
you're
and
right.
went away.
That motorcycle
is very smart.
Very smart, and actually, in the movie, makes Transformer sounds.
Yes.
Yes.
The sound cue from Transformers is used in this movie.
Yes. That's right.
This movie's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, this movie's
like
fuck
I said.
You. Your thing, we do it too. Your thing's our thing. You got superheroes? Fuck you, we got them too now. What, your thing transforms? Machines transform? Yep, we do that. What does your thing sound like? Fuck, we'll do that too.
All of a sudden, they're in full pirate's costume. They're just doing Pirates of the Caribbean. They're like, fuck, what? We're
fuck
fucking
it.
Pirates now.
Fuck
we have
it.
Ships.
We have a multiverse. Some of us are pirates. Fuck it.
All of a sudden, collecting stones, putting them in Idris Elba's spine. Clink, 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 clink. Let's do it.
Idris Elba was awesome. Like, he was a great bad guy.
Yes.
He was hilarious.
So funny. I really loved when he went through that double-decker bus and then threw a fit.
Yeah. He was pissed off.
I want that to be my reaction when I go through a double-decker bus.
Not only did he go through it, he seemingly ripped off like a full side of it.
But keep in mind, nobody was on it.
No.
Like, he should have plowed through people, be covered in their blood,
yeah,
honestly,
and still throw a tantrum.
What a downer great. That would be to have, like, a woman hanging off the side of the right? bus, but dead, as Idris Elba's like, rats!
But that's the world these movies live in. Mm-hmm. These movies live in a world in which the world's population is 3,200 people. None of our heroes interact with them at all.
They also live in a world where in the middle of, like, wherever they are in London, in the where they're seeing all the jumbotrons, they play every country's news channel simultaneously. Yeah.
It's as if the news in Times Square was like, oh, you want to see six different channels of news? They're all right here.
Like, yeah, why would you ever want to be in London? Like, I wonder what Japanese, what the news of Japan's doing there. Oh, they're on there too. They all went live. No matter what, that's all different times of the day. Uh-huh. That's London, that's New York, that's Germany. It's all like, yeah, breaking news. These guys, get them. Even though they're in London, get them.
That was interesting when Idris Elba, when it's revealed that he's in control of all news and media, and immediately everyone on CNN and Fox, everyone's just reading Idris Elba's news.
Yeah.
Like, how in the world did he do that?
A text message.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry.
Well, here's the thing. What's it called?
Wayland?
No.
Or, oh.
Etion.
Etion, yeah.
So Etion controls the world's media, right? They've created a cyborg super soldier. And their primary concern is a virus? Like, because they want to wipe people out or blah, blah, blah. They are already, have achieved multiple, like, villain goals.
Right.
They've already won.
Because because everyone else has not been able to stop them.
But they seem to be operating in the background entirely. Like, they have done, like, four things already that are worthy of, like one single movie's pursuit.
Did they make the connection from the virus to the cyborg army and eventually turning everyone into cyborgs?
Yes, because they're going to kill the weak, cyborg the strong, and that's like human evolution.
But I thought the virus killed everybody.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it just
only
be like
the weak.
Idris
only
Elba?
The weak. No, only
oh,
the weak.
Only the
weak. Right? It's
what?
Programmed no, I thought to it was, kill the weak.
No, I thought
you said that literally...
It melts your insides.
Yeah, melts your insides. Because the new
everyone.
One's going to melt your
outsides. Yeah.
Again, that feels like a joke, but yet they treat it real. That's what the hard thing about this movie is. I'm like, I get it. Yeah, all right. Like, they are doing jokes, but they're presenting them with stone faces. Maybe it is Ryan Reynolds. I'm like, I don't know when to take him seriously or not.
I mean, that's his magic.
That's clearly them, like, with him. We've got, like, 2 hours with him for reshoots. Like, just riff. And somebody threw that line in, and they were like, put it in.
I was just going to say, I feel like this is them. Ryan Reynolds will now have another spinoff, right? Isn't that kind of what this...
Like,
seriously, I figured that's
I'm
what they were
kidding.
Doing.
Please put me in that movie.
Yeah.
We all need to be in the Hobbs and Shaw multiverse. There's plenty of room.
Part of Ryan Reynolds' team in whatever this is.
In the
what
Fast
if
and
it's
the Furious
Ryan
spin-off.
Reynolds and Kevin Hart?
Yes.
It's them.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
You know? Yes.
Guys,
that would be fun.
Don't sell yourself short. Look, I'm a bald man. To see a movie with two bald leads... is one of the... How far we have come.
Well,
it means so much to me.
Up until now, that's why you haven't been in Fast and Furious, because they're like, we already have two bald guys.
Yeah, three, technically.
But now...
Now, They need a bald guy on their team to do something. Yell at or push around. I'll do whatever. Get your clothes out of the hamper.
Get your clothes out of the hamper.
Get that hamper, right?
Your requests are to be yelled at or pushed around? Why don't you get to be a hero?
Because the two guys yell at each other and push it. These two guys argue every time they take out their guns on each other. Mm-hmm. For I think the first hour and 30 minutes, it's sort of like, fuck you, bam.
The great Act 3 twist is that they discover the concept of teamwork.
It's true.
These are grown men. Uh-huh. Again, let me remind you, The Rock is a father in the movie, and they have to be taught teamwork.
And it literally is like, I'll take a punch for you. I'll take a punch for you, and then you'll take a punch for me.
It truly explains that Washington Post article about how, like, one dude doesn't take more punches than another dude. They were like, I take one, you take one, and then I'll take one, you take one. And I was like, what the fuck? Just hit the cyborg.
It is a crazy...
It was so stupid. I was like, also, during that conversation, why didn't Idris Elba kill them? Like, Idris Elba could have murdered so many times.
Oh, yes.
Idris Elba has moments where I feel like he's like that apple ball that spins because it's like, why didn't you... Like, again, Vanessa Kirby is a human woman at this point. Mm-hmm. She has no special skills besides being a badass.
Except she can live forever. She was supposed to die after a couple hours. And then the sun rose and set. This movie only took place in
3 days, Nicole.
What?
This movie took place in less than
72 hours.
72
hours.
There was a lot of sunrises. Come on.
Listen, yeah. I agree.
Getting to Samoa from Russia
is a long
72
yes.
hours.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's dead.
Agree. No. The travel time alone is 72 hours.
When they hook her up to a mobile blood laboratory, they're the justification was so quick. It's like, you're more effective if you're with us. Wait, why?
And then
stay in the fucking house.
She's on the battlefield with a blood machine, like wearing it like it's a
keyboard on her back.
Like it's a cool backpack.
I loved it. I was like, this is Elizabeth, what's her name? Elizabeth Holmes Thernos or whatever. I was like, I love this. I love her. This is great.
I watch Vanessa Kirby do anything. I did have an issue with the fact that when they capture her, put her on the plane, they're pulling down the plane, but at any given point, the helicopter could crash, and she is in it.
Yes.
And the one thing is keep her alive.
Yes. Yes.
And they bring it down in such a way, and she kind of lands outside of it. But how would they know that?
Let me be very clear. Every single person involved in the helicopter / dune buggy crash at the end of this movie should be completely incinerated.
Yes.
She,
period.
Helicopter crashes are famously difficult to survive, as far as I know.
Everybody survives.
Everyone.
The machine. Even the blood machine.
But also, I really enjoyed that scene specifically because the chain broke and then The Rock was like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
this man is...
I mean, that was
that helicopter, and I was like, no one said no, you can't.
Look, he literally, from the last movie, he picked up a fucking missile,
a torpedo,
and tossed it.
Well, there was a grenade at one point that someone put the pin back in. I was like, no, you can't do that. And then Homegirl's booby traps didn't trick nobody. She did all this wire work with the grenade,
and everyone
stepped over it. Yeah. Because Jason's like, tippity tap at the computer, and then there's a dude behind him that didn't trip the wire. And I was like, I guess women are stupid.
Here's what I'll say. If you're going to have a booby trap, make it boobier.
Wait, Adam, you were saying that.
I was just to go back to the magic blood machine. It occurred to me when they were prepping for the battle in Samoa that the primary reason they went while they were in Russia and they're like, what are we going to do? We've got this blood machine. It's broken, clearly. We need to, and he's like, I know. They go to Samoa to go to his brother's car garage to fix this blood machine.
Well, he's the best mechanic.
That's why he's the best mechanic.
Right.
But this is a piece of imaginary technology that takes a poison out of blood and places it back into a capsule. Am I right? Is that what it was?
The machine is very complex because it's a syringe that seemingly is sucking everything in like a vacuum, but not all the blood. Just a little vial.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I feel like you guys... Listen. I feel like you guys are poking holes in this, and I need to remind you, they have a 3D printer.
My favorite moment...
So they can do anything.
My favorite moment in that scene, it was supposed to be Jason Momoa as his brother, but he couldn't do it because of scheduling conflicts.
Wow.
Which would have been amazing.
Cliff Curtis was great, buddy.
I would have loved it.
Cliff Curtis was great. I like that they gave that braided man a chance.
He was
also
great.
Also, the woman who played the mom, how wild. This bitch is throwing flip-flops and she... And then at one point, she had this real chunky monologue. I was like, that was her audition, and I can't believe she was hired. I loved her so much.
I love when the dual ponytail brother, like he went Goodwill Hunting at a certain moment. He's like, yeah, all right, here it is.
Yeah.
Wow, where do you get like?
That's like, oh my God. When they go to Eddie Marzan's house, who's like the scientist who invented the blood machine and the virus or whatever, and he's written science all over every surface of the room.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I mean, Eddie Marzan, not super smart, because when he gets beat up, like one side of his glasses is like cracked, and he never fixes it.
No,
like he's like later, just pop that one out. It didn't work. Like he's like keeping.
Well, it's only. I mean, he's only there for like he's probably alive for 36 hours of the movie.
Yeah, he dies. Right?
He dies.
Yeah.
When he comes out with the flamethrower?
Who would have thought that a flamethrower played a prominent role in two movies that made $100 million?
Huge.
Once upon a time in Hollywood and Hobbs and Shaw using the same weapon?
Yeah.
I blame Elon Musk.
Why?
Because his company sells a flamethrower.
Really?
Do they really?
They do.
Sounds wild.
I know.
So he like wants to go
right?
to
space? Am I wrong? Doesn't his company have a flamethrower? Yeah, thank you.
An electric
flamethrower?
Why do
you all know? That's wild. I have one at home.
Can we just talk about the opening, the introduction to these characters, the dual scenes?
Oh, boy. They're different.
But yet, kind of the same.
Kind of the same. They got to fight.
The one thing that I did like that those opening moments showed you was that it seems like Jason Statham does not train in any way. He gets up, eats a nice egg, like omelet, and then goes gets a beer. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't. There's never like there was no push-ups, no sit-ups. But he is ready to fucking kick ass at a given.
And then he was holding that champagne bottle and like catching it, and it seemed important. And then he broke it at the end of that fight.
I mean, I think it was confused. I mean, it was the best. I mean, I think it was one of my favorite lines. He goes, "I'm a champagne problem," and then just beat them the fuck out of him with the champagne bottle.
But why was it so important for him to catch? I get the choreography.
To kind of not get it to
use
it again.
But then he just broke it at the end.
Well, the fight was over. Then he didn't need it as a
weapon anymore. Drink it.
Nicole, I see what's going on with the waist.
You're upset.
The waist.
I love booze.
Now you're a Hobbs. You're a Hobbs girl.
That's double-shotting tequila, right?
I love booze.
Oh, when Hobbs double-shotted the tequila, I thought that was interesting.
Why was that happening?
But also that they didn't just use a different take because he did it and tequila just ran down his chin.
It wasn't a cool thing. It sounds cool. It's like, and you come in, you don't do a shot. You do two shots. I'll do it at the same time. Great. Did it work? Yeah.
And then his notes, he's like, remember when I did that double shot of tequila? I noticed that wasn't in there. Can we throw that in? They're like, sure. Yeah, we'll throw that back in there.
So Dwayne really wants the double shot back in?
But it dribbles
Wait,
down
it
his
It dribbles down his face and it looks weird. I know, but he asked for it to be put back in.
Yeah. Oh, who gives a shit? Put it in.
Also, do you think The Rock was like, bring me your tightest denim jackets? He wore at least three very tight denim jackets. Yes.
One of them is his favorite.
His favorite jacket.
Which is wild. That can't be it.
They are, this is a movie of great jackets. As a fan of jackets, I was a fan of this movie.
Oh, and I, was like, I love all... that they... Here's the thing. We all know that we love the show Suits.
Yes.
We love Suits.
What if I could tell you there was a new spinoff of this movie called Jackets?
Don't they call out Jason Statham at one point? Oh, in Samoa, for wearing a jacket, and it's like 100 degrees.
He said it's 110 degrees. Yeah. Why are you wearing a jacket? Yeah.
He goes, throw another jacket on.
Mm-hmm.
The insults between them were
flawless.
So fucking fun.
They were fun.
The best.
It seemed like they were, like, and they didn't run out. It wasn't like, they like, at the end of this movie, I don't, well, they're not friends, because if you stayed for the second post-credit scene, like, The Rock calls the cops on him for
on
what?
On Statham.
On Statham. Yeah, The Rock calls on Statham under the name Huge Anus.
Mm-hmm.
Or Hugh Anus.
Hugh Anus.
Huge Anus.
Yeah.
Wait, do you really not get this?
No, I got it. It's, Hugh is like a weird, obscure name, so it'd be funny to call him Hugh. It's a weird name. Right?
No.
Yeah,
a British weird name. Yeah.
What was the first one they used in the with the passport?
My dick? No, Mike. Wait, what
Mike
was
Cox
it?
Small.
Mike
Ox. Mike.
Mike
Ox Small.
Mike.
Oh,
Ox-small.
Mike Ox Small.
Mike Ox Small.
Also, I've never been to the airport and
never.
And, no. No, I
How
just,
do you get around?
I just stay at home and sometimes I blink and appear places. But, like, I've never been to the airport where they have, like, a monitor that says accepted or denied. Like, what the fuck?
And it seems so based on nothing.
Nothing!
Well, in the movie, I think the logic of the movie sets up that, for some reason, Statham has put Mike Oxmall on a list of some sort to get rid of him so that he and Vanessa Kirby can go into, because he basically says, she's like, why'd you do that? And he was like, he would only be dragging us down. I got to get rid of him, blah, blah, blah. That's why I think.
But it also posits a world in which they get to the airport early enough that The Rock can solve that problem and still board the flight before the door is closed.
Again, and 72 hours.
And how
Gotta
does
get
he
there 2 hours early, international.
And how does he solve that problem? He says people like him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he gets out of the TSA.
And he doesn't have the mustache anymore. He doesn't have the pencils.
He doesn't have the mustache.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't.
When he comes back, not only doesn't he... Does he not have the mustache? He doesn't explain it. It's as if the police, stop him, bring him back into a room, and he's like, no, don't you guys understand? It's me, The Rock.
I'm shooting like, a movie. I'm shooting a sequel, a spinoff of the Fast and
Furious. We're doing Hobbs and Shaw from the Fast. Oh, of course, go. Please get on the plane.
But in following the logic of the movie, he gets caught. They bring him into a room to interrogate him. He's one of the two
most wanted
men in the world. And because he's charming, he talks his way out of there.
That is a scathing indictment on airline security.
Yeah.
Also, what did Jason Statham do to their faces on the passport? Technology to do nothing?
Because, again, Jason Statham has no disguise on besides the hat
and the
orange
glasses. Yes.
Which they would tell him probably take the orange glasses off. That fucks up our cameras. But, yeah, that was a little... I mean, that was the teeniest, tiniest logic hole, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
just very, very... But
also, and the only one.
Wait, when they went to Russia and there was all those pretty women killing people
the
with
Charlie's
like,
Angels
a
segment.
Bunch
I'm
of
sorry,
clothing.
You mean the lingerie assassins?
She's that literally was... wearing a bra. What is she wearing? A bra?
She's
and
wearing
gun?
A bustier and she French kisses Statham for
so long.
So long!
Yeah. Also, again, her weave was fucked up. Did they have any women on that set?
Also,
they're too busy oiling down like the rock. That takes a long time.
I guess
also,
so.
I don't think she was Russian.
No, she was fully American.
She did not have any trace of a Russian accent.
Also, whose house were they in? Yeah.
Why did Statham know to show up there?
And why did they pull up in a Porsche? Like, where did they get a Porsche? They land in Russia and just are delivered a Porsche.
From the, or was it from the Jason Statham Batcave?
Right, exactly.
Oh, maybe.
Like, yes,
like,
it was.
I just think it's from, like, The Rock is a Hertz Club member, and he's a gold member. He's been going for a long time. So he's like, give me the Porsche, please. Not the Corolla, the Porsche. But they, like, but what I love is they show up mid, like, mid-hijack. Like, she's like, well, I am in the middle of, like, tying up this Russian gangster and stealing all of his money. I guess he could stop by. It'll be quick, though. And then, like, because they do stop by in the middle of, like...
And she magically has clothes for them.
Yes.
More clothes for them than she is herself wearing.
Yes. And they have changed since their flight. They're all, like, they get on the flight to Russia... Then they show up at the house in different clothes, and then she has yet different clothes for them again.
Yeah. But she also says, I have clothes for you, right?
Yes, like she was expecting them. It's so wild that there was clothing for them, but then home, what's her name? Vanessa Kirby or whatever?
Yeah.
Her eyeliner really made me angry. It was so bad. It was a wingtip that didn't connect, and I just don't understand. There were so many costume changes, but she couldn't complete her eye. Like,
I would love it if literally they had no hair and makeup. Because if two bald dudes are like, we got it. Oh, hair? You want hair, huh?
Her nail polish was also chipped. Her nail polish was fucking chipped, and I don't know if it was a character choice. You guys, where were the women?
I just, by the way...
Did she get paid? Like, what? Was she just there? They're like, you'll be in the movie. You look fucking fine. Like, no. And I would have been mad if I was
her. All of a sudden they tell her it's like a low-budget indie. They're like, we all do our own makeup, so just come camera ready. Can you come camera ready? You're blowing up like a whole town. Yeah, just come camera ready. We spent it all on transporting the Rock's gym. I realized what I could play in the movie. I could play their cue, but I'm just their dresser. I'm always like, oh, Hobbs and Shaw. Well, good thing I have this jacket. Does it do anything? No, it's just a nice jacket.
You're just
it's
like, a you're fashion. Just their tailor measuring them.
I want to be in the movie as like an unsuspecting fat lady who could do things, you know? Who's like, ah, oh, she can't do shit. And then I'm like, oh, hi-ya. That's what I want.
Oh,
Jason,
I like that movie.
Jason, you mentioned earlier A-Team montage, and I wrote it down as fist bump montage. Everyone just, it's just a montage of fist bumps, and I loved it. Like, I was like, what's up? Fist bump. Over here? Fist bump. Let's go down. You're looking good. Fist bump. Yeah. It was.
I don't remember this.
This was... Yeah,
like
this is when they were.
This is in Samoa when they're getting ready for the invasion, right?
In between No Man's Land and the Kill Box.
Because to me, it was like the A Team. Because every episode of the A Team, in like the at the end of the fourth act, would have like a, well, we're here. All we have is the resources of a junkyard, and a modern army is about to attack us. Well, I guess we're gonna have to build weapons and vehicles out of what we've got. And that's what they do. And it's a straight-up A-Team montage.
I also like how they rigged up fireworks. How will we know they're coming?
Yeah.
Their fireworks worked like a tripwire. But like, how is that even... I don't know how you set up fireworks to tripwires.
Yeah, and nobody was tripping the wire because it was on the side of the cars. Yeah. It was... Also, everyone... Okay, so The Rock calls it Samoa, but everyone calls it Samoa. So what is it? One. Two... The only person who has a problem that a war is coming is his brother. Everyone is like, hot dog. Like,
also,
a war.
People kept saying war, and I was like, I'd be mad.
Not only would I be mad, but the main reason I would be mad is because 2/3 of the people in Samoa are children.
Also, these guys... do custom cars. That's like getting those guys on like that A&E show to be like, fight a war guy with the big mustache, walrus
American
mustache.
Chopper? Yeah. American Chopper?
Yeah, American
But also,
guys, fight a war.
Can you imagine being like, I know who we need to go to. We only have 42 hours. We're going to the American Chopper, guys. We're going to get them and the Duck Dynasty, guys, and we're going to war. Oh, wait a minute. We're sure going to die.
Wait, we got to get Mythbusters in on this. Also, none of the Samoan guys, as far as I could tell, were killed, right?
No.
Zero.
They were fine. Yeah.
There's no blood in the movie. Like, that's an interesting thing. Like, it rides this line of almost, I mean, the language, I guess, makes it R, but it's surprising. It's like,
Is it R?
I bet it's PG-13.
I think it's PG-13.
Because there's no blood, there's no nudity, there's barely any swearing.
But there is a real hot scene.
There is?
Yes. Okay. So when Homegirl fucking straddles the rock.
It is PG-13.
That was all I needed. I was like, ooh, I feel it.
When she wraps her legs around his face?
No, that wasn't sexy. So, like, he's, like, driving
in
or
the
whatever.
Car. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then she, like, swings in and she straddles him and they have that moment. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Also because, I will say, that happens after she has taken the most vulnerable leap of faith,
mm-hmm.
and he has caught her and pulled her in.
Yes,
and she is wet.
Yes. She is sopping wet. He is rock hard.
Right? They both full on gush in the truck.
Yes, and it's like
it's a straight up gush truck.
Yes.
But then later on at sunset, they're like, mwah.
Yeah. It was like such a sixth grade kiss.
And he was like, hey, how about another one? She's like, nah.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I know.
He says, how about
another
one? And she turns him down.
Also, the wind was blowing so hard. Like, he's bald, so you're like, whatever. But she's truly like, it's blowing so hard. And then those aerial shots, they were just zooming around them. It's I was like, this isn't sexy.
We got a drone.
Let's
use it quicker,
wind.
I was thinking about The Rock's truck choice because he does like to pick like a big, I'm a big guy, like a big truck. But it seems not like the best vehicle to pick when you're trying to escape an exploding town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like that thing is going to be a little bit slow moving. But yet, he just drives through walls. Like, when that fireball goes, like, no, fuck it.
That's where it seemed like they were really paying the Fast and the Furious debt.
Right.
Like, getting all these old, cool trucks and
stuff. Yeah, and then when they hit the little thing, and then, like, the engine zoom or whatever. I don't know what it's called.
Yes.
But that was like a throw to the original
movies
because that's what they would do. And I was like, I cheered.
Sure, yeah.
I was like, ooh, it's happening.
So
I was so excited.
But like, keep in mind, so you're telling me that the Hobbs custom hot rod builders are building into each car the ability to instantly hook up to a car either in front of or behind you, because your assumption is in the course of driving you will need to centipede up with other Hobbs.
By the way,
human centipede up.
By the way, they were right.
Yeah.
And
thank God.
Great.
Paid off.
And each one of them hit it each time. You got to get it right on the axles.
By the way, they're.
Clang, clang, boom, we're in.
You talk about when The Rock was holding onto the helicopter.
What a treat.
Right? That was impressive. Maybe, again, slightly unrealistic. What I found to be very unrealistic was once he got control again, he just kind of threw the cord to the steel drum that turns. He's like, hah! And then that caught it. It was like, you cannot just throw a cord at a cylindrical object and it catches.
They treated having the helicopter on a chain, on a winch, as if it's fishing. They treated it like reel it in, but you gotta let it out a little, give it a little space, then reel it in. When the chopper's tired, you gotta reel it in. This is a machine.
Let's go to the audience here.
Really?
Really?
Let's see what you have to say about this movie. And I'm going to make you think about it, though, because what I'm going to have you do is you're going to say your name, but I need you to give an insult to either The Rock or Jason Statham. So I want you to think of it. What would... Oh, I mean, look, you could do anything. They literally call The Rock a fat ass. You don't have to be always clever. All right, so, sir, you have your hand up. All right, here you go. Your name?
Tim.
Tim, do you have an insult?
Yeah, it's from the movie. Every time you speak, it's like dragging my balls through broken glass.
Good to revisit that.
There is solid.
So much balls talk in this movie.
So much.
So
I assume to keep it PG-13, mm-hmm. like at one point, Statham gives Rock a pair of his pants and says, the it might be stretched out in the crotch uh-huh. because of my balls.
Yeah.
As if the brag in that instance is, I've got big balls.
Yeah.
No, you, not a big dick.
Yeah.
I got a tiny little dick. But you know what I've got? Those big, fat, heavy balls.
You know what?
They'll stretch out pants, these balls. Not the dick. The dick is just hiding in there. Those balls, though, will ruin denim.
Those giant nuts.
Maybe he's got a problem.
Maybe he's got elephantitis of the balls.
Well, yeah, you know, maybe he's trying to raise awareness that, you know, big old balls is a danger.
But it's weird because the two fake names he gave him were all about how small his dick was, but then all his brags are about his nuts.
Yep.
Big balls aren't great, right? I mean...
Agreed.
Anytime I've encountered them, I'm like, ooh, no.
Guess what I wouldn't want to have?
Big old balls.
Big balls giant cluttering balls. Up my jeans.
Yeah. But you gotta keep them
what?
Jeans clean.
Everything that's hanging off of me has to be shoved into pants. I don't want big balls. I don't think... What do you think? That makes me feel like I'm more virile?
I would to think the way you put pants on is like balls and dick out, and then you button them and shove them
yes.
in.
I just am cramming them in.
Like a jack in the box.
One
get
button,
in,
cram.
There, go.
Two button, cram. Three button, cram. Oh, can I get it? Can I get the last two buttons over the balls? Just cramming it in.
Tim, your question.
Okay, two quick things. The first one is, did you guys notice when he put the pin back in the grenade went poof.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. It was like a cyborg yep. grenade
as
or something.
As if the grenade had an off sound.
She also wrote, I believe, on the grenade, like, bang, which is, who is that for? Because you would have tripped the wire mm-hmm. and it would have gone off and you'd be dead. You wouldn't be like, oh shit, grenade, bang. Oh, fuck, oh.
I mean,
like a fucking Wile E. Coyote moment there. What's coming to?
The one other thing is about your screensaver.
I'm sorry, so, does Tim get unlimited questions?
No,
I understand he's a regular, but what's happening?
Okay, so Paul is Hobbs, Adam is Shaw, Nicole is Vanessa, Jason is Idris, and then on the right, is Fred in this movie?
Drop yes. Dead Fred is the spirit creature. That's it. He is their invisible friend. Fred is the invisible friend. That was designed by the ghost of
Craig
T.
Nelson. I'll
say this.
I don't see Fred in that, but that you do. But that you do, Tim, is very interesting.
That was a great moment, too, when The Rock took off his Samoan war gear and then, like, oh, got put back on my other shirt.
Yeah. But he also had pants fully under his
yep.
Samoan dress. I was like, what? No.
He
it was confusing.
To put a t-shirt on as he's grabbing onto the back of a truck going like 50 miles an hour.
All right, sir, your name, your favorite insult, made up or your own, and your question.
I'm Jordan, and I was just really surprised The Rock fit in economy.
That was it. All right. Well, you should be more surprised he fit in a McLaren because that car, it technically...
Oh, was that when the three of them were in there?
Yeah.
The Rock says my favorite thing of the whole movie. He goes, what in the fresh turkey hell?
That's PG-13.
I guffawed. They stamped my feet. I was so pleased.
They do a straight up product shot of McLaren's logo.
Yeah.
That's.
They also showed, I think, Chevrolet on the old trucks. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we back to cars.
Well, Nate Kiley did some research for us. He says, the car is a McLaren 720S. The exterior width of that car is 81 inches total. So keep in mind, the interior would be 8 to 12 inches smaller than that. So let's say generously, the interior of the car is 80 inches total. All right, then the Rock's chest measurement is 50 inches.
What?
And Statham's chest measurement is 41 inches. So based on the simple art of arithmetic, we conclude that 91 inches of friggin' man will not fit into an 80-inch width car.
But honestly, it explains why women are so small in movies, so they can fit.
Get that car. By the way, did you guys have any issue with that they were brothers, that they were brother and sister, even though they were 22 years apart?
You know, that I didn't question it. I mean, sure, if you want to like be like, but like I did not care. I thought they were very compelling and charismatic together. I didn't mind it. So
I loved it. They were great.
I don't need to be the police on like, well, how late does Helen Mirren fuck? Because that's the indictment. The indictment is Helen Mirren fucked too old. If you want to say that their age difference is a problem, you're criticizing Helen Mirren.
You're right. We do have police for that, so you don't need to do that.
Thank you.
Although I would have liked to see like a 22-year-old guy, like, or maybe like a 30-year-old guy playing with a 6-year-old kid doing the Mick Jagger thing in the flashback. Just like a real crazy lopsided age. When we were kids, yeah, he's smoking a cigarette with a pint of beer in his hand.
Do you think if you walked around and asked people on the street, how old is Jason Statham? Like, how old would they say he is?
I'll tell you what I think he is. 37.
Really? Like, Jason Statham is at least 58 years old.
I would say he's at least 51.
He's for sure in his 50s.
I think he's ageless. I don't know. I look at him, I'm like, you aged well for a white man.
He,
you know,
definitely
like,
did.
I think he looks okay.
I'm not criticizing him. I think he looks great. I think the movie thinks they're pulling off Jason Statham is 38 years old.
Yeah.
Jason Statham, I believe, is in his mid-50s.
Wait, is he though?
Anyone want to Google that right here? Because I'm not...
52.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
52.
And he looks great.
Looks amazing.
But that, the discrepancy between him and Vanessa Kirby, who is,
but they
I'm
look,
sure,
they
in
look
her 30s.
Like, yeah, they look great together.
Yeah.
Paul, I'm still stuck on your, like, your flashbacks to the Mick Jagger and, like, using the Irishman technology to make Jason Statham 22 or, like, 32 with a little girl and pulling off jobs together.
I want that movie. Give me a prequel. Sir, your name, your insult, your question.
My name is Rich. And I actually made the Twitter poster for you, so thank you for that.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, that's awesome. This one?
You made a different one. He made a different one.
Oh.
My insult is, I think that shirt's cutting off circulation to your brain.
That's great.
And then, okay,
a classic Los Angeles accent.
As we all know. Okay.
The only flaw with this movie is that Statham wasn't in L.A. I mean, that's what we knew.
Okay, so we have two accomplished lawmen who don't like each other but have to work together. They're set up by a bad guy and have to clear their names. There's sexual tension with a sister. Is this Tango and Cash?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Tango and Cash came to mind many times during the movie last night. Have you seen Tango and Cash, Nicole?
Sure haven't. Tango in
it's,
Cash?
It's
Is it about like a fiery Latina and a black man?
Yes.
Like,
holy shit.
That would make so much more
that
sense.
That would be unreal.
That would make so much more sense.
Salma Hayek and Chris Tucker in
Tango and Cash.
Guys, I got a real brain buster here. This is going to blow your mind. So tell me what you got.
So I was told a rumor today by a friend in the industry, because David Leitch is using everybody that he's worked with before, the rumor is that Keanu will be the voice in the next one.
I mean, come on.
The voice?
The voice of the...
The voice of the thing?
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. Go ahead, Adam.
I was just going to say, my son had the theory at the end that the voice is the The Rock and his brother's father.
Right.
Right?
Isn't that a good one?
Except that...
Oh, that's
here's
good.
What I'll say. The right? voice says multiple times that the voice knows Shaw.
Right.
Right?
But then he said, we'll have a hell of a reunion to Hobbs. He knows
was
Hobbs.
That what it was? Not Shaw, Hobbs?
A hell of wait, a family so,
whoa, whoa, whoa,
reunion.
Hang on.
Hold on, hold on. We're going to go back
who
to Rich.
Who does the voice say it knows?
It was the voice saying to Hobbs, we have a or about Hobbs, we have a history. Mm-hmm. You probably don't remember me, but we have a history.
And Idris Elba has a connection to Shaw.
Yes.
Doesn't now, the voice say something about knowing Shaw? It's good, like it's...
They wanted him years ago.
Yes.
They had Idris Elba try to recruit to, him. Like,
no,
him.
I know that, but I meant the voice. Doesn't... Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
The voice,
okay.
says, the voice says that about... Let's...
But by the way, here's what I want to just say.
Because I heard a theory that the voice is Han.
Oh shit.
That the voice is Han, and Han was the first cyborg-enhanced suit. This is not my theory. I'm not originating this. This I heard somewhere else. So let me... I'm just... putting it out, I like that as an idea.
A riot started at Largo on La Cienega Boulevard.
I also heard that the voice could be, and I don't like this as much, Charlize Theron's character.
Yeah. Well,
here's what I'll say. Charlize Theron is going to be in Fast 9. So,
okay.
There's wait, a little is? Bit. Sorry.
Charlize Theron. Then probably not.
But here is my theory, combines two of them. What if Keanu Reeves is The Rock's dad?
I'm in.
Like,
yeah, truly, I'm in. No questions.
In.
I love it.
Like,
and I hope they dress him like a traditional Samoan warrior, you know? Like, just fully do it.
All right, here we go. Ma'am, come to me.
She's trying to grab that mic, Paul.
Yeah, I know. Ma'am, your name, your insult, your question.
Okay, my name is...
look at her. Grabbing right at it.
My name is Chelsea. My insult is I think The Rock has bigger tits than me.
I like that. That's a good... that's an original
insult.
Who
are you insulting?
She's insulting the... No, no, that's but you. She made up the insult. You're the first person who did it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, but you
and
just,
she's
you
insulting The Rock because he's got big old titties.
I see.
And he's not supposed to have titties.
So, like... let's sell it, though. Sell it. Like, you just kind of ran by. Like, pretend The Rock is right here and sell it.
Yeah, pretend I'm What's The Rock.
What's that mic?
The Rock, you've got bigger tits than me.
Boom!
And I like that you called him The Rock. All right, now your question.
My question is, when the movie starts, we see Hattie, and she's this, like, cool lady policeman, and I was like, oh, nice, like, okay, this diversity on the squad. And then, literally, for the rest of the movie, we never see any other female, like, minion, scientist, like...
But the lingerie girls.
The lingerie girls.
There's a whole Russian lingerie mercenary
team. But they're not in combat. Their whole thing... they're just like a Victoria's Secret house.
Yes, but they're liberating Russia.
Where are the other like combat operatives alongside Hattie? Is she the one?
But this is why this is going to be a great franchise. They're going to learn first about teamwork, then that women can do cool stuff. Then like they're slowly evolving gentlemen.
Here's what I will say, because I do think many times they could have sidelined or marginalized Vanessa Kirby, right? Like, oh, you've got to do the machine, so go over there now. But they just instead are like, strap it to your back, keep fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. The machine's on your back. You still go through a helicopter crash. Like, they do. She is, I will say, in my opinion, a total fucking badass in this movie.
She gets to fucking fight The Rock.
Even when she's got, like, the virus in her system, even when she's, like the thing strapped to her back, she's still kicking ass.
Yeah, it was the three of them. I thought it was a missed opportunity. As we're getting closer to the 72 hours, she should have started getting sick.
Yes.
And then saved at the last second.
Yeah, she doesn't ever appear weak at all because the capsule should be deteriorating. But I will say that when she fights The Rock, which is a great sequence, The Rock is sort of like, I feel like the attitude is like, girls. Like, all right, threw a cement block in my head. No, lady. Like, he's like, all right, you got me. Like, it's a very, like, he kept on charging her as if, like, they are unhurtable. It's amazing. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie. There are people out there with actually, honestly, the same exact opinion as us. But why not hear some of those? It is now time for second opinions.
Just saw a film that was second to none. Gonna give it my second opinion, where I can tell all these jerks how I feel online. Statham Angelino, he owns my soul. What movie is better? I don't know. Idris Elba and The Rock, a girl could cry. Whoa, Amazon Stars 5.
Paul, back off.
No,
She's not done. You got this.
Bam, bam, bam.
Dang it.
I'm Derek, and I give my stars to this. And I give it five. Whoa, Amazon stars.
All right. That is a talented crew of second opinions.
Was it, though?
That was incredible.
Was it, though?
I loved it. I loved it with my first, so I'm not done. And then continued
and
to
she
say,
was so,
I'm not done.
She was, though, so close to done.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there was a lot more.
No.
There was just a tiny bit more.
And the audience was so behind it that you could have just gotten off right there.
Get out while the getting's good.
It was all great.
I loved
it. Was it?
Yes.
Those are some amazing second opinions. We picked one, and the rest will be sent to the back of the episode. You can listen to the... Oh, no, no big deal. You can still hear them at the end of the episode, though. All right.
Sent to the back of the episode.
Get to that back of the episode.
You know what? The songs can ride anywhere in the episode they'd like to.
There are four reviews total. Four reviews. So this is it. Nate had an easy week this week. So there are four reviews. They're pretty much all of about 5 stars.
On Amazon?
On Amazon, yep. Yeah. So this is...
.com.
Yes.
Oh, Amazon.com.
This one...
Oh, and not Amazon.net?
This one, we'll start off with Kyle Hurley. The title of the review is Cool Cool. And he writes this. Just about enough humor, but just a bit too long. Not necessarily a good idea, but it works. 5 stars. But what I love about that is, like, just about enough humor. Just about enough. But also just a bit too long. So that's a delicate balance he's running. And then... okay. This is from Crispy. Fairly good dialogue. And banter between the two, excellent. Both of them can be considered dialogue. CGI violence and action, great looking tough girl. Oh, by the way, all in caps. Everything here is in caps. The blonde from Mission Impossible, and also Shaw's mom. A lot of humor, good villain, filling out the role nicely. Only flaw, Idris is trying to save the planet. Hobbs and Shaw thwart him. Similar to the Avengers and Thanos, who's trying to save the planet from overpopulation, just goes to show how short-sighted the good guys really are. They're tough, but not brainy. But, oh well, live it up while you can, boys. Our planet will be dead in 50 years. 5 stars. Those are really the only two word
readings. That review is from a hashtag Thanos was right point of view?
Now it's Idris was right.
Wow.
There it is. Well, just for perspective, this movie, it is PG-13. There's no taglines listed, which is really an interesting thing. The budget of this movie, $200 million. Opening weekend, $60 million on opening weekend. And so far, and this may not even be updated, this is a research on 8/10. The worldwide gross is $247 million, and it's still opening up everywhere right now. That's all the facts I got because this just came out. We got nothing.
How did it do critically, like Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, yeah.
100%.
89%. 89%.
Wow. Yeah. I'm surprised by that.
I'm not. It's so much fun.
I only mean that because I agree. I think it's so much fun. I'm surprised that the critical reception agrees with us.
Yeah. They're right.
Fair.
Well, this has been great. I think it's a no-brainer. We all agree.
There's one thing I do want to mention,
which
is only that none of us have yet mentioned the greatest line in the episode, which is Idris Elba saying, genocide, schmenicide.
Oh, yeah. Right at the top of the movie.
As if to brush off the severity of their plan being worldwide genocide.
But yet, when Idris Elba says it, it has a gravitas to it that doesn't sound... Again, this movie does a great job of saying insane things. So
casting.
Stone-faced.
Yeah, this movie is a
genocide,
triumph.
Genocide, schmenicide.
Yeah.
Cool, yeah.
Right. This movie is a triumph of casting. Because all of these people are selling nonsense.
Yeah.
And I am buying.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. There was not a moment where I was like, no, come on.
No.
I was there.
Yes.
Yeah, it really does... Like, it is everything that you would want to see, and it seems like everyone who's in it is legitimately happy to be there. Like, can you believe it? Like, I feel like they're like, I'm a fan. I get to be in this movie now and say crazy shit. But
can I ask you a question? Do you think when they go to Samoa and they're doing the whole thing, and then they're like, bad guys are coming, we got to get prepared to go to the war, and they're like, do you have guns? And he's like, yeah, we've got guns. And he opens the cabinet and there's no guns. Mm-hmm. And mom has replaced all the guns with traditional like war implements. Is this meant to be like an anti-gun message, like baked into this weird movie?
Little bit. That's how I took it.
Is this movie trying to take a stance that is like not guns always?
Maybe it's like chains and chains and like old school wooden weapons are really the way to go because they're like, we don't need weapons. We just need we just need bodies or whatever.
Well, their whole thing is like we need
hearts.
Heart. Yeah. Heart?
That's right.
Oh, heart.
Heart. Heart.
We got a lot of that or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought that was interesting that like the big final fight took guns out of the equation almost completely.
Yeah, because they took the chips out of all their electric guns.
Oh, because everybody's a hacker.
They hacked the guns.
I think they did it because who wants to see people just shooting? I want to see them rub up against each other and like slam shit into them.
I mean, when The Rock took like that wooden like mallet,
like a judge thing. It was like a, what is it called? A hammer? A judge
hammer? A gavel.
Oh, yeah.
Gavel?
He's just out here Judge Judying motherfuckers.
Guilty.
Kablam, kablam, kablam. I find you in contempt.
That son of a bitch is guilty.
I'll allow it, counselor.
You know what? My only quibble with the movie was I was wondering, and it's fine, it's a Fast and Furious movie, but I was wondering if this, maybe after this one, the sequence the set piece that starts in the abandoned warehouse where they talk and decide it's we need to fight, that then the chase scene goes out into the abandoned, burned out industrial park. I wonder if we need to ever see that again, because it seems like every single, not just Fast and the Furious, but every single action movie, there is something that will take place in the abandoned warehouse.
Right, it's like it's the abandoned factory that they can just drive through walls and the silos are coming down. I agree that that could be done. My question about the franchise in general is, he's a robot. Where do they go? Like, who is more... but space is a location. We need, like, a villain. Like, ghosts?
This motherfucker gets it.
Yeah. Ghosts.
This
Ghostbusters.
Guy gets it.
Ghostbusters. Just like Transformers. Like, yeah, Ghostbusters, Jason Reitman, we'll fucking see you.
Here's
we got
the deal.
All the ghosts.
Here's the deal. The ghost of Han is coming for these fuckers.
And again, I want to be clear, no justice is needed for Han. He's a straight-up cold-blooded killer. Many children died in Brazil because of his recklessness with that fucking safe plan. Anyway, Adam, what do you got going on?
Oh, man, you know what? Not much, but I am just so glad to be here and so glad that this movie came out. I feel like this is... For me personally, the most highly anticipated of the Fast and the Furious.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Same.
I remember you guys being the ones to tell me, I think at a recording of an episode, that they were going to make a Hobbs and Shaw spinoff, and I thought you were joking because it sounded way too good to be true. So this was just a 100% pleasure. What a great movie.
Nicole, what about you? What do you got going on?
Oh, boy. Well, I have too many podcasts. Why Won't You Date Me? Best Friends. I have a podcast where I recap 90 Day Fiancé because it's the funniest show.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. I didn't know you do this.
Yes,
I love this show.
It's called 90 Day Bay. It's on Patreon. It's $5 a month. But it's the best show on television.
I'm addicted
to
that show.
It's so fucking...
Good.
Are you caught up?
I'm a little behind.
There's this woman catfishing this man. She only sends him filtered pics, and she's like, I don't know what he's going to do when he sees me. I'm like, bitch, I don't know. Be mad?
Wow.
It's great. You guys, if you're not watching, it is... You
it
can't
is so
write
good.
It in a writer's room. Like, at what... Okay, so...
I'm following the majority of them on Instagram. And
do you?
Oh, yes.
Did you follow Colty and Larissa's drama?
I mean,
oh, my God.
They back together now?
No. They had a divorce party in
I
Vegas.
I saw that.
That my co-host Marcy went to.
Divorce party for
yes.
these two.
So if you want to hear me talk about that.
I want to watch that Irishman who's like very upset with like his wife going out. He's like, you don't go out without me. That
hard guy. To talk to you. Don't go out with me.
Sorry, Nicole and I will continue this conversation out there. Jason, what do you want to tell the people about besides our tour in September, which there's still tickets for, hdtgminfo.com. We're in Seattle, Portland, Chicago.
Toronto,
and there's one other place.
San Francisco.
Berkeley.
Ooh, those are good cities.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I was on, this will come out this week?
Yeah.
So I was on Legion 2 weeks ago.
Rap battle Jason.
Yes, if you want to see me in a rap battle with Jemaine Clement, Legion 2 weeks ago. Let's see. And then also John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum.
I still haven't seen John Wick 3 and I
Adam,
can't believe
it's great.
I'm in that movie.
I know.
It is. And it's really so weird.
Like, I really want to see that movie.
And then please come and see us on tour.
Yeah,
please
come.
Buy the tour merch that is individualized for each location on the tour.
It's been really fun. We're making shirts for every show. I mean,
inside
I want to make
jokes. T-shirts that are legit inside jokes.
When you look at our tour shirts, they make no sense.
And I will say this. If you're a casual listener to this show, I would urge you to, if you have not already, listen to the Drop Dead Fred episode. It is one or two back in the feed, and it is, I think, quite possibly the best and the worst episode of the show.
Everything is fine between us, but I will tell you this much.
But I will say June is not here.
Right. I just want you to know that her sister had a baby and she's visiting her sister and that's where she is.
So she's out of town with family?
Everything is fine.
You're saying June is out of town with family. But everything's cool.
Yeah, all right, let's... We'll wrap this up. But also... If you have listened to that episode, check out our mini episode where people have written songs in tribute to that episode. And we actually play some of the deleted scenes from that episode in the mini episode as well.
Having had a couple of weeks now a month almost to process it and really think about it, if you continue to represent Team Sanity, you're a fucking moron.
You are a fucking moron. Where are my Team Sanity?
Team Fred.
All right, so.
Wow, I really need to listen to this episode.
Oh, yeah.
People are coming up to me in public and going, hey man, Team Fred all the way.
And for me, Team Sanity, it's been great. And I just want to clarify one thing, because on the boards and all this shit, I'm not against creativity, I'm not against imagination. I just want a better version of the movie that we saw. I like everything they said.
No, you said you loved the mom.
Yes. She's a single mom.
Monster.
She cleans shit off the floor and doesn't even go, why did you put shit on the floor? She helps her get help. The reason why she's better and the why she finds herself is because the mom gave her the pills. Anyway, I wrote a book called Cosmic Ghost Rider. It's a Marvel book. The final book just came out this week. You can check it out. Cosmic Ghost Rider destroys Marvel history. And that is that. Thank you, Adam Scott. Thank you, Nicole Byer. Thank you.
Hobbs. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Shaw. Thank you, Largo. Devin up in the booth. Nate doing all the research. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That's all for our show today. A big thank you to Adam Scott and Nicole Byer, who joined us for this epic takedown of Hobbs and Shaw, one of the best movies of all time, in my personal opinion. If you want to make sure that you are getting the latest in How Did This Get Made merch, head on over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. We have all of our inside joke shirts from our tour up and available. And a big thank you to Nate Kiley, who does all of our research, and our producer, Avril Halley, who pulls every one of our films for this podcast. A big hats off to her, never leading us in a wrong direction, although we didn't need any help this week because this film picked itself. That's how cool it is. A big thank you to our engineer, Devin, recording this show and crystal clear sound at Largo, and Cody, who's just killing it all the time too. Everybody at Earwolf, everybody at Largo. If you're in LA, go check out a show at Largo, and we will see you next week for a mini episode where we'll continue to talk about the greatness that is Hobbs and Shaw, or HNS for all you people out there. Make sure you head on over to TeePublic to get that t-shirt, a new Hobbs and Shaw t-shirt. It's coming your way, baby. Get it. Look ripped.
Here we go. Now it's time for second opinions.
This movie's brilliant. This movie's pure. This film is timeless. Of that I'm sure. The Shaws kick ass. Hobbs wears really tight shirts. It's time for second opinions. But let me say one thing first. Bald's beautiful. It's beautiful. Bald's beautiful. It's true. Hobbs and Shaw, Tyrese and Diesel too. I sing this song for you. I give you all 5-star reviews.
Yuvia? Give it up for Yuvia! There you go, stand right there. Now it's time for second opinions.
I said, this ain't 1-star, this ain't 2 stars. This the whole enchilada and some 5 yards. I got Hobbs and Shaw, it's the best fucking movie that I ever saw. Yeah, yeah. I said, I just gave it 5 stars. I just gave it 5 fucking stars. This movie had The Rock. If I gave it 4, it would feel wrong. I said, this movie's so tight, and they do it all right. And I could watch it all motherfucking night. I just gave it 5 stars.
Give it up for Phil. Come on down. Here we go. Now it's time for second.
Oh, life has movies. Some of them good and some are not good. The lengths that people go to praise these films online. Oh no, they gave 5 stars to Drop Dead Fred. That's them in the corner. That's them with the keyboard giving second opinions.
Give it up for Ryan.
How did this get made?